Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Govardhan Puja Day 2008. The 48th limit of ocean, Sakyam. Vishwaso Mitra Vrishchishtishcha. Sakyam Dvivida Dhammiritam. Sakyam or friendship. Friendship or Sakyam is of two kinds, Sakyam based on faith and Sakyam based on a temperament of friendly feelings. Jiva Goswami points out that the two kinds of sakyam, or friendship, based on faith and based on one's normal and innate disposition for the Lord as a friend. The second one is thinking of the Lord innately within the heart as one's friend. That is what Rupa Goswami intended. Because it says, Vishwaso Mitra, Vrishticha Sakyam Devi. In other words, there's two types. There's of sakyas. So the word mitra means friend in all its bearings. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Brahma offers prayers to Krishna and he says, how fortunate are Nanda Maharaj and the Brijavasis. The all-blissful, eternal, absolute Brahman is their friend. And this verse, the friendly affection by temperament, means the natural feeling for the Lord as when one says, I am thy friend. So this is Sakyam, where one actually feels that the Lord is my friend. Although there's one that you just have faith that Krishna is your friend, and the others you feel within your heart, yes. In other words, in the beginning we think, yes, Krishna is a friend of all living entities, Suridam Sarvabhutanam Riddhesh Arjuna Chishtati. It's told in Bhagavad Gita that yes, I have faith, Krishna is my friend, but we don't really feel it and we don't really perceive it. That's the very beginning of friendship, the faith or belief. But one actually feels the friendship and feels the friendly hand of the Lord and feels himself being handled by a great, great friend in a very loving way, then he can actually say he has some friendship with the Lord. I often say that God is everyone's friend and everyone's father. So then he cites a verse here. He says there's two kinds of sakyam, one by faith and one by natural temperament. So he cites a verse from Mahabharata. This is actually spoken by Krishna. This verse is from Mahabharata. Pratigya tava govinda name bhakti pranashiti iti samsriti samsritya pranam samdaraham yaham. And this verse, interestingly enough, is also in ISKCON song, Deity Worship Book. And this is mentioned as a verse that we should repeat after we do puja as a prayaschitta to get free from offenses, deity aparads, seva aparads. So by chanting the holy name and by serving the Lord and performing limbs of bhakti and by chanting these prayers of forgiveness that are mentioned, mantrahinam, kriyahinam, bhaktihinam, janardana, Yat Pujitam Maya Devam Pariparam Darastame, and then this verse, Pratigyatava Govande. These prayers are mentioned as ways to appease the Lord and satisfy the Lord to get forgiven for deity offenses and deity worship. So this is an example of Sakyam and faith. In the Mahabharata, Sri Draupadi is addressing Lord Sri Krishna. O Lord Govinda, it is your promise that your devotees shall never be completely ruined. And remembering this again, I maintain my life. Bhakti Pranashiti, Name Bhakti Pranashiti. It's like Bhagavad Gita. Draupadi is offering her vandanam of prayer. That my Lord, your devotees are never vanquished. And this gives me hope. I'm holding on to this fact that your devotees are never destroyed. You always protect your devotees, maybe at the last moment, but you come to their protection. So Jiva Goswami comments here that the faith of Draupadi is expressed in these words, because she uses the word pratigya. Pratigya tava Govinda. Govinda, hey Govinda, hey Bhagavan, hey Krishna, it is your pratigya. Pratigya means promise. Pratigya tava. It is your promise. What is your promise? You promised Arjuna on the battlefield, and I remember that promise. And And you've promised all your devotees that they'll never perish, that you always save them. So remembering this, I'm taking great solace. So this is an example of faith, or let's say friendship, sakyam, based on faith, invitee sadhana bhakti. Of course, Draupadi is an eternal associate of the Lord in prema bhakti. So this feeling of hers, this expression that she has, "Oh Govinda, surely you'll save me." This is an anubhav. This is a voluntary outward expression of her loving feeling towards the Lord. There's a prayer also in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. The sage Sri Havi addresses King Nimi. He's describing different levels of devotees. He is a superior devotee whose heart, the Supreme Lord's feet, are bound with the ropes of pranaya, which is snehaman pranaya rag. It's a very high level of prema that occurs in the spiritual world. And such a devotee, the Lord can never leave. So the action of binding the feet of the Lord within the heart with the tie of pranaya is an anubhav. In other words, a voluntary expression of prema by the Lord's eternal associates. So sometimes even a sadhaka will have this kind of mood, as sage Havi is telling in the Bhagavatam. So we're talking about sadhana bhakti. So Draupadi, of course, is not on the level of sadhana bhakti. But she's making this statement, Pratigya tava govinda name bhakti pranashiti iti samsritya pranam samdarhamyam. O Govinda, it is your promise that your devotees will never perish. And remembering this, I am able to carry on and take strength. So Mukunda Das Goswami comments in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that these words of Draupadi, this prayer of Draupadi, is cited by Rupa Goswami as an example of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So this is some example worthy. At the level one, this is one type of friendship. There's two types of sakyam, or friendship, on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti. The beginning of Vaidhi Bhakti, one feels, has friendship out of faith. Out of faith, he has friendship for the Lord. As he advances in Vaidhi Bhakti, then he has experience of the Lord. The Lord actually expresses his friendship and shows his loving concern for the devotee by saving him and extending himself in various times and various ways to confirm his presence in the heart of the devotee and to confirm his friendship for the devotee. So that's why it says, Pratigyatava Govinda, Name Bhakti Pranashati. Nash means destroyed or to kill. Bhakti Vignan Vinash, we say this sometimes. Bhakti Vigna Vinash Nishinga Bhagavan Aki. So Vigna means difficulty or obstacles in Bhakti. Bhakti Vigna Vinash. Vinash means to destroy. So this is the beginning faith that our friendship with the Lord is based on faith, that yes, the Lord is my friend. I've read it in Shastras, and people, personalities like Draupadi are being cited by Rupa Goswami as an example of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then the higher end, which we'll see, that there's friendship with the Lord, which is based on a heartly feeling, that one genuinely feels the Lord is his friend. It's kind of like you may have faith that someone you're working with in the office and you're always associating with, you have sort of, it's understood that he is a type of friend, maybe a social friend. And you have faith that you can count on him and maybe trust him. Faith means love and trust. And so that's some faith, and you have some friendship with him. But then you may entrust him with some very confidential activity, and he may let you down. And then you'll see that his friendship is rather undeveloped, rather flimsy. So that's faith. You have faith that he's a friend. Now there's another friend where you know it in your heart. You know it in your heart that this person, lady or gentleman, they will, as they say in America, give the shirt off their back for you. That's an expression. I'll give the shirt off my back. In other words, I have this one shirt, but if you need it, then I'll take it off, I'll give it to you, because you're my friend. And, you know, I'll do anything for you. So this is a higher type of sakyam with the Lord, where one feels that the Lord, I know the Lord will do anything for me, that he'll always help me, he'll always destroy any obstacles I face. I can count on him, I can trust him. So this is under discussion here in this section of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti by Rupa Goswami. Text 190, he gives an example, another example of sakyam based on faith. Because his sakyam is one of the 64 limbs of devotional service, is dasyam sakyam atmanavedanam. Tribhuvana bibhava hetave prapyakunta smriti rajitatma surari bir mirgyat nachalati bhagavati padaravinda lavani me sharadamapisa Vaishnava Grayam. This again is 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 53. King Nimi is being instructed by the sage Sri Havi. He says, one who does not deviate even for the twinkling of an eye from the constant remembrance of the feet of the Lord, who is unattainable by the great gods of the heavens, and who aspire, and others who aspire for the attainment of heaven, he is a great Vaishnava. So this is a very high type of friendship where one is always fixed on the Lord. And so, of course, here there's some commentary. It says that this friendly affection, sakya, and complete surrender, atmanivedanam, these two limbs or forms of or features of bhakti are extremely rare. Only in some devotees of exceptional merit are they sometimes observed. They, in fact, are the characteristics of the perfected devotees, the Nityasiddha associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. Although Rupa Goswami is mentioning these angas, these as limbs or parts of Vaidhi Sadhana, that is, this is bhakti to be realized or accomplished by practice, it will appear to be not quite appropriate in the present context. If they are mentioned, however, here, it is because of, in very rare cases, the belief that matures into friendly affection and complete self-surrender may also be observed in advanced devotees on this earth. So when one reads the 64 limbs of devotion, they begin with Guru Pada Shraya. Well, everyone that's sensible and intelligent, cultured human being will understand the need to surrender at the lotus feet of a teacher, a spiritual teacher, guru. And they will surrender there, and then they will begin their life of devotion. And they will receive shiksha, diksha shikshadi, diksha shikshadi. They'll take diksha mantras, and that will give them knowledge, and they'll begin bhajana kriya, and they'll go through some purification. But to come to this, to realize all the limbs of devotion, actually may not take place even in one lifetime. Because these upper limbs of devotion, this sakyam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, and the fullest expression of these devotional limbs, one is a pure devotee. One experiences these at the level of prema. So Rupa Goswami, this is Vaidhi Sadhana chapter, because he's trying to give us some idea that yes, by Vaidhi Sadhana, in this world, not in Boma Vrindavan, and not in the spiritual world, we can surrender so much and we can develop our devotion so much to come to this genuine platform of sakyam. It's kind of just mentioned here as it's a possibility. It's not that we get so far so soon, but he's mentioning here. Because Shraddha, it says, Shraddha Matrasya Tadbhakta Adhikaritva Hetuta Angatvam Masya Vishwa, Vishwasa Visheshaya Tu Keshave. Shraddha or faith is a necessary condition of eligibility for worship of the Lord. And this faith is an aspect or of the belief in the Supreme Lord and the Absolute Reality of Lord Keshava. So there's a lot of terms here that you see, of course, coming from the West, we can't minutely look at these terms so minutely, but there are words that are interchanged in shastras, like Sudrida Vishwas. There are verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sudrida Vishwas. And generally, the word Vishwas and Shraddha, Ado Shraddha, Tata Sarasanga, Bhajana Kriya Narta Nivriti, these terms we've heard, Shraddha. But generally, both words, Vishwas and Shraddha, are translated as faith. But there are actually quite some differences. And the Acharyas are kindly trying to explain the difference. So Jiva Goswami says, the two terms, Shraddha and Vishwas, are often regarded as the same. Yet one may describe the primary stage as Shraddha of faith, and the subsequent or following stage more developed as Vishwas or belief. So there's a distinction between the two. The difference between Shraddha and Vishwas is the same as the difference between a determinable and a determinant. Here's an illustration. Color is a determinable, and its determinants are red, blue, black, white, and green. To make it more simple, color is a category, the word color is a category, and then the different colors are subcategories. Right? You say color, then it goes from infrared to ultraviolet and everything in between. You say color, well then, that's it. But then what color? And then we have to explain. So thus, determinable color becomes determinant as red or blue color. In the same way, Shraddha is the primary stage of faith in general, and it becomes specific as Vishwas, or belief in Keshava as the Lord and the Supreme Reality. So I think this is easy to understand. We say belief. We believe in so many things. We believe in our family. We believe in, people say, believe in money or whatever. Believe in the country. But then Vishwas is reserved for the absolute. This intense, full, you have faith in your country or faith in your relatives or friends or faith in your intelligence or faith in your abilities. But Vishwas is a little bit different. It means a firm belief in the supreme reality of God himself. That's what's being told here. And then this is all, of course, explaining one principle of devotion called Sakyam. This is friendly feelings. So those discussions were about friendship based on faith. Now there's a second category, which is actual Sakyam, like we say Sakha Damodar. This is Damodar month. So generally we worship, people have the idea of Yashoda Damodar. And then some are Puranas, they tell us about Radha Damodar. And some say that today is the day, or yesterday Amavasya, one of these 2 days. When Krishna was in Gokul, and he was only, how old was he? 3 years old or so. He was tied up by his mother to the twin Arjuna, to the mortar, then he dragged the mortar in Gokul. So that he's known as Yashoda Damodar. And then there's the Damodar in Sakyaras, when Krishna moved to Chatikar. After he was 3 years, 3.5 years or so, he moved to Chatikar, and then he started taking out the cows 3 years later, Pogandalila. And then at that time, sometimes the coward boys would tie him up to a tree, because he would steal their lunch bag and throw it to another friend, and then another friend, another friend. And finally some friend would catch that lunch bag and open it up because it smelled too good. Then he would eat all the samosas and rubbery. And then the other friend who lost his lunch bag would complain to Krishna, and Krishna would laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Looks like you'll have to fast today. And then that boy would get angry. And then he would say, okay, Krishna, let's see what happens. Then later he would make some conspiracy with some strong coward boys like Stoka Krishna and Gobatta and Mandali and Bhadra and Balaram and Subal. And he said, listen, Krishna really treated me bad this morning. I was really counting on eating that rubbery. My mother made it special for me. And he threw my lunch bag away when we were playing at Mansi Ganga. And now I have to fast. I don't think that's fair. I think I want to tie him up and punish him. So if you help me, we can gang up on him. So then when he took a break or lunch, and then this boy who lost his lunch bag in the morning, he initiated his attack his ambush of Krishna. And then they all attack Krishna with a bunch of malati vines, and they tied him to a kadamba tree. And that boy rebuked him very heavily. Why you took my lunch bag? And you didn't eat yourself. You didn't even eat the kira yourself, I mean the rubber yourself. But you were laughing and laughing, and some other boys ate it. So now I'm going to punish you. I'm not going to untie you until you make some arrangement to feed me. So then Krishna said, okay, looks like I'm in trouble now. He got caught. Krishna got caught again. Krishna always gets caught by his devotees. He gets trapped in the prema jal, the network of their love. And so then Krishna said, okay, what's the payment? Krishna says, and then the boy said, the payment is I want your lunch tiffin, I want Balaram, Dalji's lunch tiffin, both of them. And he said, well, maybe I can give my lunch tiffin, but I don't think I can give Dalji's lunch tiffin, because then I'll be in devil trouble. You're tying me up now to the kadamba tree, but if I give Dalji's tiffin, then he's going to box my ears. When I get untied, he's going to box my ears, and I'll really be in bad shape. So then Krishna said, anyway, just take mine and be happy. So this is Sakadamadhar. Sakha means his friends. Sakyam, friendly Ras. And they also tie up Krishna. So these are two types of Damodars that were tied up today or yesterday. Then the other Damodar, of course, is the most endearing form of Damodar and a very esoteric form of Damodar. And this is Nividamadhar. Maybe you've seen. Nowadays, the most intimate subjects are contained on the internet. So you can see there on the internet all these interesting things if you go on Google. But there's one Puran, Bhavishuttara Upanishad, or Puran. It tells the story of Nividamadhar that on this day, Krishna was supposed to meet Radharani, and he got detained by some Diwali festivals, or at least so he said. My mother had a big Diwali festival, and we set up so many crackers, and we had to exchange so many gifts. And I was so busy with my Nanda Baba and Upananda and Sunanda and all the different Nanda brothers and my uncles. Big family affair. Everyone came from all over Braj Mandal. And there was so much dancing and singing and eating. And I completely forgot that I was supposed to meet you this evening. So that's why I became so late. And Radharani didn't go for it. She didn't believe it, because she understood Krishna was making up a whole tale. And so then she got her gopis together, and I didn't have to make much effort about it. They didn't have to collect a bunch of ropes from all over Braj Mandal, and they get all sweated up, and their hair didn't come undone, the flowers didn't fall from her hair, she didn't perspire. She just simply held up her finger and started chastising. Why is it we... And Lalita was on one side, Vishaka was on another side, Radharani was in the front, and he was saying, no, and he turned to Lalita, looking for some encouragement. She said, yes, that's right, you're late, and we dressed Radharani so nicely. Then he looked to Vishaka, and Vishaka said, yes, look how we made arrangements here, this flower bed is so beautiful, so much nice water and tumble and fan, this beautiful parrot here singing so nicely, and your nonsense. And then he looks back at Radharani, he said, yes. So there was no way for him to get any release or any release or any mercy from these gopis, these merciless gopis, Radhika, Lalita, and Vishaka. So he said, listen. So he hung his head down. They said, yes, you should be ashamed. You should be embarrassed. Now we're going to tie you up so you can never run from here. So Krishna was quiet. He didn't run. And Yashoda Lila, he became so frightened, he ran away, and rubbing his eyes and the cudgels running down his face. And Yukkara, Yugmenakara, his two hands, he's rubbing his eyes, smearing a cudgel all over his face and hands, and running in fear, full speed, lightning fast, and crying all the while. But in this lila of Nividamadhar, he just hung his head in shame and embarrassment. Then Radharani simply, she reached down on her petticoat, and there's one rope that goes around to hold up her petticoat, her undergarments. It's called Nivi, and it's called Nivibandha. When you tie a knot in the underwear, it's called Nivibandha. And when Krishna plays his Vamshi, then the Nivibandha comes undone. Not only in the gopis, but in the ladies flying in their airplanes, the celestial airplanes, Pushpa Viman, they're flying over the Rasa dance with their husbands. Their husbands, of course, can't see, but they can hear the music, and they become enchanted. And they also become filled with conjugal feelings just by hearing Krishna and the gopis playing their rasa dance. And their wives, their clothes become loose. That's what it means. Often you read, their clothes become loose. It says, oh, their clothes become loose. So what does that mean? It means that the ropes that are holding up your clothes come undone. How your clothes become tight. First of all, there's no belts. There's no elastic bands. There's no buttons. There's no hook and eyes, or whatever these different things people have, little hook and little eye and then a hook, right? That's called, hook and eye. There's a little hook and it goes into a little piece of cloth. It's called hook and eye. They just have strings. No strings attached. So this is what's holding up the things. No Velcro. They don't have any Velcro in the spiritual world. No blue tack, no Velcro. You may wonder how anyone can exist there. No Velcro. No blue tack. Little pasty stuff. You know, like you go like that, holds up posters on the wall and stuff. How do they dress Radha and Krishna without blue tack? If anybody's ever done deity worship, they know they use so much blue tack for peacock feathers, sticking them on the mukut and all these things. Somehow it goes on. So when Krishna plays his flute, then the clothes become loosened, which means the nivi bandhan, the knot and this rope around there, and they're holding up their petticoat or underwear, it becomes loosened. The knot when the knot's loose, then if you have shoes and they become untied, then they fall off your feet. So your clothes are tied up with knots and ropes tied in a knot. When the knot is loosened, then your clothes fall off. So Radharani took this rope, this string actually, that holds up her petticoat around her hips, and she pulled it out and just instantly tied Krishna around the kadamba tree. One rope, that's all it took. So the binding power of Madhurya Leela is much greater than the binding power in Vatsalya Leela. Because Madhurya Leela is the greatest binding force in the world. There's nothing more powerful than conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. This is the Mahabhav. All kinds of bhav is there. Vatsalya bhav, Sakya bhav, Dasya bhav. But then there's something called Madhur bhav. Madhurya bhav is called Mahabhav. And so this is called Maha because it's the greatest binding force. It's the greatest expression of love, the greatest intensity of love and dedication and submission and surrender that's found in Srimati Radharani and her offering of seva and love for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. So it only took one rope, and she didn't have to rub her eyes, or rather Krishna didn't rub his eyes in fear. He just hung his head down and surrendered to the control of Radharani. Prem Vashibhut, controlled by her prem. And Radharani didn't get all sweated up. She was cool, calm, and collective. Completely in control of the situation. One rope, job finished. Krishna bound, totally, absolutely bound. Sambandha, prem sambandha. Sam means completely. Bandha, bound, tied, locked up. So he couldn't go anywhere until he begged forgiveness and promised all kinds of payments and payoffs and bribes and all kinds of things he had to do. And finally they released him after much torment, rebuking, and various other punishments of Cupid and Kandarpa that went on through the night. Krishna was severely punished by the god of love. Of course, that's beyond our scope. But we're back here discussing friendship. And friendly feelings are mentioned in the Gatsya Samhita, and we'll discuss that tomorrow.